This is Book Theatre, beginning October 27th, 1983, and ending June 1984. So it's a relatively long period in one book, which we might find out why eventually. But here we go. Begins Thursday, October 27th. Didoxy and prep gel of NAR digest of PSV2 Neo Delta left. This is thinking about labeling or not labeling and a didoxy material. Can see why. So this book begins on Thursday, October 27th, page 1, and it's following up on the idea that was elaborated on at the end of the previous book, which I think I'll go back and just explain again. On Saturday, October 22nd, the last pages of book 8, describes how tests by Raju on my suggestion showed that about a 30-fold increase in recombination of delta left neo and delta right neoplasmids in mammalian cells could be obtained by introducing a deletion caused by the enzyme NAR into delta left neo. So there was a deletion in the plasmid that helps with induce a repair mechanism, and the idea then was to test the effects of carbapenemab phosphatase on this to reduce ligation, and of didoxyens to prevent ligation. Starting with NAR digest, which are deletions of PSV2 delta left neo, what would be the effect of different end treatments, and that's where the book theta begins by putting didoxy end onto the NAR digest to prevent ligation. So here we are, ligation test Friday, October 28th, page 3. Making the material to test this idea using NAR neo didoxy versus NAR neo. Just to see whether it does indeed prevent ligation. And the conclusion is the yield of NAR didoxy, NAR neo didoxy is rather low, but ligation occurred in DD and in DD plus C, whatever the C was. Therefore the didoxy didn't work. That was the conclusion. I must have gone to a lecture by Paul Berg on Wednesday the 2nd, because he was there were some suggestions there that hydrofolate reductase No, it's not clear. I don't really quite understand what that was. That when dihydrofolate reductase is being used with a terminator, followed by a new methionine with a NAO, that this is before, two proteins from the same RNA were well understood. But the comment that this works if the NAO gene, if the DHFR gene with the terminator and the NAO gene with the methionine work, if they're not too far apart. But if the termination is deleted, translation, if the stop code on the terminator is deleted, translation goes right through. TNFUS could be TN.TERMETFUS. So maybe incorrect. So maybe my incorrect 13 and 14 will work over the page idea. They're just different ways of getting around expressing two genes or using one promoter to express two genes. So review of TNFUS 13 and 14 and of new TNFUS minis on Thursday, November 3rd, page 7. Continuing to work on the TKNAO diffusion. And back to 117 again on Tuesday, November 7th. Page 19, Delta Beta 117, minis on a downstrain. So that this was beginning. On a down minor string. With a comment that this BCL1's, because unless one used a down minor string, we couldn't use BCL1, and the BCL1 site is needed for linearization outside the homology, while a BSDX1 site is needed for linearization inside the homology. And this is growing the minis on the down minus strain so that you don't get modification of the BCL1 site to make it uncuttable. NAR again on page 21. Thursday, November 10th, page 23, it's considering using or making a nicked circular PSV2 NAO delta left. Since NAR nicks PSV NAO delta left, as well as cutting it, I need a control of nicked circles, etc. With the conclusion from the results that the DNA that NAR3 is only a trace better, etc., etc. But the DNA says as good as I can make it. A little supercoil left and a little single random cut, etc. help on blunt end ligations from a paper published in PNAS, October 1983, from Zimmerman and Pfeiffer, crowding with polyethylene glycol would help blunt end ligations by DNAs. A purely technical problem, but quite interesting anyway, from a point of view of gels. So that is then added on page 24. And there is an attempt at ligating with 15% PEG on the same page after filling in and didioxy. So to get ligation, even though the ends were blunt. So here's theta 25 control and ligation, and that's K theta 25, K being a Klenau material, and a DD theta 25, which is a dideoxy material. And very good ligation of the control with a 15% PEG. The dideoxy inhibits substantially, but not completely, about 70%. So Raju is going to test a mitomycin treatment and UV treatment of DNA, and he's already done a carfentanil alkaline phosphatase and ditto single-stranded specific nicking, various ways of treating the DNA, which, as I've already mentioned, ended up as a paper from the two of us. And he was evidently wanting to know what TN Fuss number 31 was, and I have an insert on page 28 that the maps of TNT look correct. TN Fuss number 31 is still a bit suspicious, but a note to Raju: this is the best description I can give of TN Fuss 31 and TNT. These are the designs and not proven structures, but it shows what they were intended to be. Sally Boggs was a long time friend and collaborator, and came to the lab as a visiting professor. And here is the first mention of her here, in a fairly complex insertion on page 33, Wednesday, November 30th, suggested to Sally Boggs and Raju Kuchilapati to use W mice from Sally. These are mice that are various mice which have a decrease in bone marrow competent cells, reduce erythropoiesis. So take normal and thalassemic bone marrow, the thalassemic bone marrow being from the W mice, and calcium phosphate PSV2 neo beta globin gene DNA, and select with G418 to get the cells which are now got the neomycin resistance, and then put back into the depleted mice, or better use into a WWV mouse that's up there. These are viable, WV is a viable W mutation, and tests for near sequences, etc., etc. Various several combinations are possible. In other words, trying to think about correcting a thalassemic mouse with different materials. And a huge yellow sheet has a fold out there showing various possibilities that are too complex to try to resolve at this point. Whether it's a lecture, probably a lecture from Marshall Edgell, November 28th, 1983, about talking about beta major, beta D major, and beta D major, etc. And maybe it's a conversation with him, I think it's more likely. Getting these various constructs or various sequences of beta S major and beta S minor and the like. So various ideas on that page. And looking at the HBB D haplotype, PSV2 nail, a beta major construction, and now being considered on Wednesday, November 30th, page 35, and maps of the of that region as an insert on the left. So starting with Debiandine clones of the beta major, beta D major sequence, CA4 from Debiandine. Minis on the beta major PSV2 nail on Thursday, December 8th, page 37. Digestion, no good. Repeating again, December 9th, but none are correct yet. More minis, etc., on the following pages. Remake of Delta of Beta Major / Nail, Saturday, December 17th, page 45. Beginning again. Prep gel and carb intestinal phosphatase on the following pages, and isolating a faster, medium, and a slow components from. On Monday here, December 19th, the conclusion is a terrible gel, but proceed. Expect us to be reasonable, but use it only. And going on in that similar vein. And a transformation for this plasmid, which is a PSV2 nail. / beta major, which is going to be shortened as PN beta on Tuesday, December 20th. 8 colonies were obtained. And the conclusion that several of them are number 31, and 4 and 5 are correct orientation, number 7 looks bigger, etc., etc. Size is not quite correct, so better do some more. Trying to nick with NAR1, December 27th, Tuesday, page 55. Didn't work. And then we're worrying about recombination at the phage level. This is something that was a real concern. That as we began to do this work, we got more and more worried about the possibility that recombination really, although we scored it correctly and found the recombinant fragment, that the recombinant fragment had actually been generated during the assay. That's to say, it had been a phage or a phage. It required E. coli to get the recombination. So it's necessary to find a design of a procedure which would allow one to test whether recombination had occurred before or after the DNA had seen E. coli. And this is the beginning of that thought, though not the one that we finally used, I believe. But it's a retest of delta beta 17 by gamma beta Hindi 3 fragment, a test of the multiplicity of infection to exclude a recombination at the phage level, and if necessary, even more dilute, etc. So that was the aim of this particular type of experiment. So preparative gels on the next page were being made from number 31, theta 35, and number 4, 3053, to see the nail beta major and the nail let's try that one again. I see that these are the two orientations. Number 31, and well, let's start the other way around. Number 4, theta 53, will be called nail major. But 31, 35 will be called nail jam, meaning major in the opposite orientation. There are maps of what one would expect from these two orientations on page 59 in Saturday, December 30th. Both being about 11 kilobases long, but having the different orientations of the beta globin major gene in this plasmid, the SV40 nail upstream and then beta major downstream, and the other case with beta with SV40 nail and the reverse of beta major being downstream of the SV40 promoter. Worrying about selection with G418 on page 61, Thursday, January 19. Problem most likely to give trouble with the nail beta major experiment is selection with G418, and therefore set up a backup plasmid with the DHFR mutant as a dominant selectable marker instead of nail. wanted to make a dominant marker. And there's a plasmid. DHFR. Plasmid, which is described from Simonson and Levinson plasma FR 400, which has SV40 early phase promoter driving mutant DHFR, which has low MTX affinity, etc., in the poly A site from hepatitis B virus. So this is an available plasmid. And the idea being, in my case, was to cut it with Sal, there's a convenient Sal site, and introduce the beta major gene on the 5.9 kilobase fragment into the Sal1 site by blunt end ligations. And we now have on page 62 the map of the TN5 sequence and the TN-FUS 31 sequence available. And showing that TNT is nearly correct. It's lost three bases, but has a terminator and initiator resplend. And TNA, TN-FUS, that's TNT is the terminator one, and TN-FUS is the fusion one. TN-FUS has a 50 base insert repeated twice. So, and so really is a TNT, that's to say a terminator. It could be corrected with X or 2. With XOR2, which is equivalent to PBOO1. So various ways out of that problem. And TN5 and TN4 maps are then appended on page 65. And correcting TN4, the 50 base pair too long, a sequence due to the repeat, on page 67. And continuing on page 69, correcting the deletion. A good ligation, but the cells were dead, so that page 69 didn't work. And here on page 70 is the DHFR mutant expression vector into PFR 100, a map presumably sent by the persons who sent me the original clones. Because the design of a better beta major vector on page 71 using the mutant low MTX affinity DHFR gene as a selective agent in place of NAO with a 9-step plan of action. But I didn't like the plan. So about a different plan on page 73 and notes from Frank Burton on what might be done. So rescuing delta beta 1-7 or 1-1-7 for gene conversion. Now beginning to think about using about gene conversion rather than just insertions. Delta beta 1-1-7 will assay plasmid integration, but may be unable to assay gene conversion. Giving an example there of what might happen by using delta beta 1-1-7, which eventually was the successful plasmid, and showing its recombination going to insertion, okay, but gene conversion would give something that would not be would not end up as being useful because it would have lost the sub-F gene. So I need a homology across the sub-F in order to see gene conversion. And all with a note that all yeast workers agree that gene conversion can skip large blocks of non-homology, but needs homology on the other side. In other words, gene conversion can occur without crossing over, with a good diagram of it in the middle of page 75. Delta beta with something like delta beta sub F there, and showing that it could really incorporate the sequence without ever having inserted the plasmid. And so a list of what to do on that bottom of the page. Cut singly with VSDX1, tail with KPM, prepare this, delta, tail with KPN and clone and orient, etc., etc. Looking at the sequences again on to get out the 1.75 delta, the delta sequence. Amaniasis phage is available. PPN101 at 275 micrograms per mil, etc. And CLAR17, eta-119, is available at 173 micrograms per mil. So the material is available. And the experiment is then tried over the next few pages. Single cut of CLAR 17, eta-123 protocol on page 81. KPN linker into the BS, into the CLAR, that was cutting with BSDX1. And then on the following page, Tuesday, March 27th, page 83, putting a KPN linker into the CLAR 17/BSDX1 fragment. With something from Raju Kuchalapati. Here are the data on the transfections of the genomic PSV delta left nail, SV2 GBT, and delta right plasmids, etc. So things are going in that direction. Proceeding with construction in the next few pages. So, making a KPN digest of CLAR 17, page 89, the whole of CLAR 1 KPN theta 87 now being treated with intestinal alkaline phosphatase to give us Theta 89 Class 17 CIAP. Ligation on page 91. And a diagnostic, a digest being considered on page 90. That if class 17 gives an 8.0 and a 5.2, that isn't right. But the desired is 9.8 plus 5.2. Undesired 8.0 plus 7.0, etc. Orientation can be checked later. Check screen 32 minis, mic screen 32 minis, almost all colonies that were there, and none were correct. Too many were unmodified class 17, therefore repeat the whole prep with a pre-purification of the delta beta piece, etc. Just technical problems, repeating the experiments needed to get the desired product. Some more considerations on page 101, Saturday, May 5th, with Raju, Neo Major, and Neo Jam, the reverse results. Neo Major gave 9.5 colonies per microgram, and the reverse gave 6.25 colonies per microgram. And some ideas on purifying circles. Continuing to make the various fragments and ligations necessary to get the desired ends. For example, page 111, Friday, May 11th, ligation and transformation for P delta delta dash delta beta, only a trace of ligation. But left it longer, and ligation was complete. Proceed. So the transformation on page 113, Sunday, May 13th, and 15 colonies, but it's with a comment, hold these and repeat to get more. So repeated to get more, got about 300 colonies on the next day, and then hybridized them on Wednesday, May 16th, page 117, where a large number were positive with the hybridization to NIC translated 1.8 kilobase delta beta piece from HBG1. A total of 12 R. A list of which four was streaked for single colonies. A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, etc. How to diagnose on page 119. PSD1 can be used for the orientation, and KPN will tell the insert cutability, and Hindi 3 is nice for simple length determination. So start with Hindi 3. With the conclusion that all but number 12 are class 17, not delta beta not delta, 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 beta. And number 12 is a deletion. So all but 12 are class 17, and number 12 is a deletion. So pick 24 more. I'll try again. And the following page, minutes for delta, 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 beta, and number 33 may have an insert, was the conclusion. And so that mini was attested. The experiment wasn't convincing because I forgot to extract with phenol before trying to digest. Now comes a different thought here, and I know where it, what was in my mind, although it's not written in the book. And that was really due to a thought from my graduate student, who pointed out that student Karen Lyons, who pointed out that the experiments might never work if we went on using these bladder carcinoma cells, because they didn't express beta globin at all, and if we wanted to introduce a NAO gene or whatever into that locus, A, we might not be able to get into the locus because it was that part of the DNA was locked up in heterochromatin, or if we did get in there, it wouldn't be expressed because not that region was not being expressed at all in these cells. So it, in a sense, said your experiment will never work. And the way out of this was therefore to try to use cells which already were known to express or be able to express beta globin genes. It turned out that there was one such a cell line available, and that was a cell line, a mouse cell line, that had a human chromosome 11 in it, on which the beta globin locus resides, and that it was known to be inducible by various agents to express the beta globin genes, and in other words, this was a cell line that had the human locus in it, and that the human locus was known to be expressible, and therefore repeat the experiment in these cells instead of in the bladder carcinoma cells, which Raju and I had been using all this time. But there, then the problem arose that these cells are not don't grow in a dish in the nice way that TK bladder carcinoma cells grew, but they were in suspension, and therefore calcium phosphate could not be used to get transformants. And so this was a problem that had to be tackled. Page 125, June 12th, Tuesday, talks about the solution. Yeah. Well, Art Scolci had the right cells, and he was a friend and collaborator, and he had cells, as I say, with chromosome 11 in them. But how to get the DNA into these cells? But Hunt Potter at that had a paper that was in press, which he had told me about or sent. I don't remember exactly how I knew, but I talked to him, or he talked to me, in press in PNAS, that you could get DNA into these cells which were in suspension by zapping them with a high voltage pulse, a DC pulse, which would punch holes in the cell membrane and allow DNA to get into the cell. And if you had the right, just the right level of punching, as it were, you could get DNA into the cells without killing them all. And so it was a balance between having enough holes in the cell to get the DNA in and having too many holes so that the cells died. But he had produced a method of doing this using a particular type of power supply. I began to think about using this at this point. So here on page 125, Tuesday, June 12th, I'm talking about transformation of beta globin producing cell based on the work of Hunt Potter, which itself was based on preceding work by Newman and others in EMBO journal, page 841, 1982, and Zimmerman and Vienken in the Journal of Membrane Biology, 67, etc., using high voltage pulses. And here now, so here we are, ASF2-1 cell from Artskulshi, are MEL cells, mouse erythral leukemia cells. They're HPRT minus. They have 39 chromosomes, which are normal, but chromosome 40 is different, and that chromosome 40 carries in it the X11 translocation, or carries on its end an X11 translocation, which brings in the beta globin locus. And if HAT is used, the chromosome 11, X11 is retained without keeping the selection there. That chromosome is lost, so it's necessary to grow them under HAT selection or under HAT challenge all the time. Making the hemoglobin is at a low level, but it can be induced with DMSO, which leads to differentiation and death, but nonetheless is inducible. So these cells do make a little bit of hemoglobin even without induction, and certainly can be induced, so on. Details of the cell that Hunt Potter used. He had a cell with a 1 centimeter gap and using a discharge of 2000 volt discharge from a particular power supply called ISCO 494. And I looked up the circuit diagram of ISCO 494 and found out that it really had 200 microfarad capacitors bridged by a 47 kilobase resistor, and there were 6 of these in series, and so it was something that I could make. And the circuit diagram is there on page 126, which in those days, fortunately, manufacturers would give you circuit diagrams, and one can see what was involved. The multiple copies of the series copies of the condensers paralleled by resistors. So I thought I could indeed make that if I even wouldn't have to buy one of these particular power supplies. So I made a power supply of that with that design. I'm looking to see if I have the circuit diagram there, which I probably do at some stage, because it was published. Maybe not in the book. But the idea then was to replicate the condenser resistor array of that power supply and use our high voltage power supplies. We already had high voltage power supply, and to load them up, load the capacitors up with the power supply, and then trigger their release, which was going to be done with a transistor or a slightly different type of control diode. Do we know what page I was on by any chance? Can we find out? Maybe picking up again on page 127, the idea being to replicate the construct that, or the zapping that Hunt Potter had devised, and trying to do this with a 2000 volts. From charging a capacitor to 2,000 volts, but the difficulty was, as we see, that the energy, a lot of the energy, disappears into the spark when one does that simple experiment of charging a capacitor and then discharging it through the cell containing the cells that one wishes to transform. So trying this at first, and no signs of lysis at 2,000 volts. Pursuing this, I have thought on page 129, Wednesday, June 13th, the circuit diagram of ISCO 494 suggests that the effective capacity is only 20 microfarads, and the external resistance is about 200 ohms for the cells, so that the time constant is approximately 4 milliseconds, whereas Zimmerman et al. Talk about time constants closer to 5 microseconds, with capacitors of about 20 nanofarads, not 20 microfarads. So I constructed a cell with a gap of 2 millimeters to permit operation at 10,000 volts per centimeter, with a total voltage which I had available of 2,000 volts or less than that, and where the time constant would be about 20 microseconds. And for this, the capacity could be calculated and the resistance. So here was the design of the cell, 10 millimeters cross-section in one direction, 4 millimeters height, and 2 millimeters gap, and that the resistance should be 42 ohms, etc. And if the capacity was 100 nanofarads, which I had a high voltage capacitor available, then I might be able to get it to work. So I had a circuit, I made a circuit on page 133 with the power supply charging through a 1 megohm resistor, because there was no need to have a very rapid charge, and measuring the voltage and having a switch which could be used to make the contact. and found that this could handle, this simple circuit could handle anything between 0 and 3,000 volts with a zap frequency of about less than or equal to 1 per second. And so I could use 3 zaps in 6 seconds. And I did this type of experiment. So with an error, I forgot to add the distilled water to the solution. And continuing this general thought on the following pages, with a very good comment from my old collaborator and friend Les Pinterich in Toronto, who was in my mind an electronic genius, and he suggested that the spark will consume an appreciable part of the energy, and that the actual delta voltage across the test cell is lower than expected. So you have to do it in by looking and to see what happens with the scope by looking at the tektronik with the tektronik scope, and so on. There was a test made of this general type with a comment that this was tested with this scope, that the loss in the spark at 2000 volts was not measurable, meaning that I wasn't able to do it well enough. Anyway, going on with the zapping and survival, I found that at 1 kilovolt or at 500 volts, no cells were killed. At 1 kilovolt, about 2/3 of the cells were dead, and at 2 kilovolts, basically 100% kill. So you could find something in between, beginning to do that type of experiment. 3 pulses at about 3 seconds spacing, room temperature, with a voltage across the capacitor being 0, 500, 1,000, 2,000 or 3,000 volts on page 137, Tuesday, April 19th. With the conclusion that the data show a very steep kill curve in agreement with Neumann et al. But nonetheless, continuing to go on with DNA transfer by zapping, Wednesday, June 20th, page 139. Attempt to transfer at room temperature. 4 × 10⁷ cells available in 40 mils, got them back up into a smaller volume, about 50% survival when at various voltages. 800 volts, three zaps, 900 volts, 1000 volts, 700 volts, different ways of trying it. And they're using a dye exclusion to estimate how many cells were alive and how many dead. One could get some idea as to what was happening in the different procedures. So that about 60% excluded the dye when at 700 volts, and or rather, the easier to see the number that were dead. 91% were killed at 900 volts. 84% were killed at 1,000 volts. 14% were killed at 800 volts, and 14% and 40 at 700 volts. Probably have those a bit wrong, but one can see what the experiment was. Cell counts on Thursday showed that a better list of it. But, 70% were dead with the protocol 1, up to 34% dead with protocol number 4. So the counts are not precise, but at least it's working. So this type of experiment was now continued by DNA by zapping. With an interlude footage to try delta beta, delta beta 117 again Friday, June 22nd, page 147. So that type of experiment being talked about on Monday, June 25th. Back to transformation again. On June 26th, and back to cell zapping on page 153, Tuesday, June 26th. I made a new zapper where there were 7 capacitors in series, each bridged with a 1 mega ohm resistor so that the voltage would be spread uniformly across the capacitors, and then charged up with the power supply. The time constant should be slow. And set up then. The capacitors were 100 microfarad, but when in series, this is equivalent to a 14 microfarad total capacitor. And I found that I could get 3,600 volts. The capacitor working limit is 3,200, etc. And cell survivals with this type of procedure. And more zapping on Wednesday, June 27th, page 155, 1.9 down 10 to 7 cells available. Zap them at 3,600 volts, the maximum available. Tap twice at 10 second interval. And still no considering. There's still no killing. So consider going to the medium. Also remember Newman et al. Use trypsinite cell. Back to minis again for delta on page 157. Large number of positives. The experiment was not considered satisfactory. So the book ends with a fresh look at delta beta. Indications are that this KPM linker is not working, etc. Start again with a new linker. And so that ends a book at theta. I just want to look at this and see whether what happens here.